If you've never testified, I'm going to start praying that God will give you one. I'm not talking about working something up. I'm talking about praying one day on it. You get a case of the can't help it. I'm telling you what, it's good. It's liberating. I've only heard my wife testify I could probably count the number of times, honey, you've testified on both hands over our whole marriage. Probably on both hands. So whenever she speaks, I'm starting to listen. But I'm glad that she is redeemed. I'm glad she is saved. If you've ever been redeemed, my friends, I believe you know it. I believe you know it. How do you walk around saved and not know it? You know it. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Well, how do you make that preparation? You get redeemed. Because if you're not redeemed, you're still in the things that I will preach about tonight. You're still in the bonds of iniquity. You're still shackled by Satan. You're still under Pharaoh or Satan's rule. You're still under the taskmaster's rule. You're still doing the things that you've always done. The Bible said when you get redeemed, when you are born again by the precious blood of Jesus, there's something new that takes place. The Bible said you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old former things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I believe that there's a change. There's a cutting around of the heart, a circumcision, if you will, of the heart. It's an incision, a circumcision, not made with hands. It's by God Almighty, and He does a work. And let me tell you, regardless of circumcision, you keep your place there. I don't know why I'm doing this, but we're going to go somewhere else just a second. If you want to look with me, you can. Didn't even have this penciled in, but it'll come to light here in just a minute. Your circumstances right now in your life do not determine whether or not you're saved. They have nothing to do with your salvation. Now, I want to show you Job, and look with me just for a quick minute in the book of Job. Like I said, we're going to be in the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we'll quickly go back there. But if you're saved because of your situation, you had a windfall, all of a sudden you inherited a bunch of money, or maybe you just landed the dream job, maybe you got a promotion, maybe something happened, and because of that, that made you feel a little bit better about things. It should make you feel better. It maybe give you more security that your bills are going to be paid or whatever. Maybe you got a great report from the doctor's office, and before you were kind of worried about it. Those are liberating things in your flesh, but they don't do anything for you spiritually. Nothing. They have nothing to do with your salvation. I can show you that in the book of Job. Job is historically and biblically recorded as being the oldest work. It is the oldest work in your Bible. If you go to the preface in the book of Job, it should tell you that it was said in the age of the patriarchs of Abraham, of those other saints of God, and it is historically given that it is the oldest recorded work. So when we look at Job, I want you to read just a little bit in the 19th chapter of Job. Job, as you well know, lost everything that he had. And he's here in the 19th chapter, and he makes one of the most definitive statements about his Redeemer as is recorded in the Scriptures. He says in the 19th chapter in verse number 17, "My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for her children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I rose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God? And are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, and that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know," and I want you to listen to him. He didn't say I think or I hope. There's no hope so about my redemption. There's no hope so about your Redeemer, Brother Kenny. Bless God, you're saved or you're not. And if you are saved, Brother Tim, you should be able to boldly say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And that's the definitive statement coming from Job. He said, and this is, Brother Tim, after he lost his family, after he lost his oxen, his cattle, his land, everything that he had is now stripped away in a 24-hour given period. It's gone. But you know what? Those three friends, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, just come to him over and over, basically with accusatory remarks saying, "You've done something, Job. You messed up somewhere, Job. Go ahead and fess up, Job." Job's wife was like, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, you are in a misery here. You've got boils from up here to the crown of your head to the soul
sole of your feet, you're in a miserable condition, Job. Why don't you just go ahead and curse God and let him go ahead and kill you and take you out of here. But Job didn't. He never accused God falsely or wrongly. And here's what it said in verse number 25. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My friends, that sounds like somebody that knows the Redeemer. That sounds like somebody that knows what they're talking about. And like I said, Job being the oldest recorded work was written in the age. Let me see what my Bible says. You could turn to the book of Job and go to the first part. I don't even know what yours says. I don't know what kind of a Bible you're carrying. The preface in my book of Job says that Job is perhaps the earliest book of the Bible. It is set in a period of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And it tells the story of a man who loses everything. His wealth, his health, his family. And he wrestles with this question, why? The book begins with a heavenly debate between God and Satan, but quickly moves through three cycles of earthly debates between Job and his three friends, and concludes with a divine and dramatic diagnosis of Job's problem. In the end, Job acknowledges the very sovereignty of God in his life and receives back more, twice fold, than what he had before. That sounds to me like Job knew what he was talking about. Job, bless God, got back the double portion. He lost, he gained back. But one thing that he did. He never charged God foolishly, and he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. So now we're going back to the book of Exodus, and I would invite you, if you will, to stand and give reverence to reading God's word. And if you still want to testify somewhere, you just pop up and I'll yield to you. But the Bible then says in the book of Exodus in chapter number 1, listen, this is a blessed song of the redeemed tonight. If you are redeemed, you should be able to say amen tonight. You say, well, I don't never say amen. You ought to be able to say it once in a while. Once in a while, preacher going to hit a lick on something that lines up with who you are. Brother Archie, say amen or old me or something. Do something. Brother Danny Dillard, one time I was up there listening to him, and he was preaching, and he said, I'm gonna pray the Holy Ghost of God will come by and smack you out of the pew and right out in the middle of the floor. And I'm like, what in the world? A pastor of a church asking God to knock him out on the floor? He said, bless God, at least then you'd have to get up or do something, because we must have been sitting there like a bunch of wooden Indians. And I never forgot that. He said, I'm gonna pray the Holy Ghost just knock you out on the floor. I ain't asking God to knock you out on the floor, but bless God, once in a while, you ought to, the Holy Spirit nudges, team, you ought to say amen. Amen. So many times, though, the Word of God is pricking us a little bit, and we're having to sit there and grit our teeth and rather saying, oh, me. Verse number 1 of the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob by the hand of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. For I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I want you to do me a favor. You've got some digits on your hand. You're going to need two hands whenever I tell you this, because it's 7 times in these next 2 verses. But kind of do this right here as a tabulator whenever I'm going through these and see how many times the Lord said, I will. You know, in the New Testament, he said, I am, I am, I am, I am. 7 times in the book of John, he said, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am this, I am that. But anyway, here he says, I will. And this was a promise unto the children of Israel, and it should be a promise to us today. Take your tabulators out and see. It said, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He said, I will rid you out of their bondage. He said, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. He said, I will take you to me for a people. I will be unto you for a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the Egyptian. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He said, I will give it to you for an heritage. He said, I am the Lord. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Brother Kenny, ask God to bless us, my friend, if you will. As you're being seated, just keep those things in mind. If God said, I will, guess what? He will. If he said, I will unto them, he did unto them, because he was giving them a promise. And every time that he said, I will, he did. And bless God, if he's no respecter person, if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. But it's in a different spirit tonight. It's in a different way tonight. It's an entirely different dispensation tonight. We're living under the age of grace, and we're not under the taskmaster's rule, which is by the name of Pharaoh. We're not living in a strange land called Egypt. Bless God, we live in our own wilderness today. And we live in our own place today, and we have our own Pharaoh today. We have our own tempter today. We have our own taskmasters to contend with today. But in the book of Exodus, we're going to have to go back just a little bit and just catch it forward and walk it forward. And I want you to go back to Exodus chapter number 1 just for a minute, because I want you to see something. We all know pretty much the scriptures, if you've been in church any length of time, how that the children of Israel ended up down in the land of Egypt and how that they ended up in bondage. The Bible said that God sent them a forerunner, if you will. And that being Joseph, that would go through the pit all the way to the palace, through the prison all the way to Potiphar's house, through Potiphar's house all the way to Pharaoh's castle, that he'll become the second in the land. In this passage of scripture here, there's one verse, and Brother Clayton being here tonight, this is one of Clayton's favorite verses of the Old Testament, and it's that first chapter of the book of Exodus in verse number 8. And it said, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You said, preacher, what you talking about? What I'm saying is there was a person that put in authority in the book of Exodus over the land that did not know Joseph. And the Bible said if he didn't know Joseph, guess what? Then he didn't know the providence of God, because Joseph was a shadow or a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to be brutish toward the people. You're going to be hard toward the people. And Brother King, we got a government right now that knows not Joseph. And bless God, they know not the precepts of God. They would deny that there is a God. They're doing everything anti-Christ. And bless God, he give us a little space of grace here, and bless God, I think we'll take advantage of it. I believe we need to do what we've done just a few short years ago. Calvary, you put your money where your mouth is, in that you give $1,000 to buy letters about yay tall, and you put them on both sides of the courthouse doors. I think we better take advantage of that. Keep him on our money. Put him back on the courthouse. Put him wherever you can. Speak God. Preach God. Sing God. And keep him at the forefront in the eyelets of your heart, that bless God, that this world can't take away what God has given us to space of grace to do. But it said here, and we're going to first open up about the people of God. In chapter number 1, look about verse number 8 down through there. It said that there arose up a new king in Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us. So get them up and out of the land. Therefore they did set over themselves them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses, and said, but the more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and there they grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made children of Israel to serve with rigor, and made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in the manner of the service of the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So what are you preaching about first off, preacher? I'm talking about God's people. Whenever Satan has the rule over you can better believe that your labor is going to be with rigor. It's going to be hard on you. Bless God, you better hope that you've got an almighty God in your favor and in your court. Because, Tim, I'd hate to walk through this late day that we live in the year 2019, Brother Apostle, not have my Redeemer with me. I'd hate to walk through this thing alone. I'm glad that I've got a God that's gone before me, that's prepared the way before me. Bless God, that knows my struggle. Bless God, I put my trust in him, and he was in all points tempted such as we are. So, Brother Tim, when I'm tempted, guess what? He's been there, and he overcame that temptation. BJ, when we face something that's hard against us, guess what? He knows our struggle. Why? Because he did the same struggle when he went to the cross. We struggle now, but God, he struggled then. And you won't go nowhere. You won't do anything. You won't face anything that our Savior hadn't already overcome that. And bless God, because of that, we can be his people. He said in this first part that they are my people. And what happened? They ended up under the taskmaster's rule. Bless God, Brother Tim, that's just a picture of the late day church. church. They had to get there, but bless God, God was the one that put them there. He caused a dearth in the land, but bless God, he sent Joseph ahead of them to get down there that they might be protected, that they might have sustenance, that they might be able to live and breathe and function. Bless God, and then a little bit later, we get over there, but bless God, he sent them a deliverer that they might get out from under that bondage. What did he do for us? He sent us a deliverer, bless God. It wasn't another Moses. Bless God, he sent us Jesus Christ, the very righteous Son of Almighty God. But first off, he's talking to God's people. And then in verse number 1 through 8 of the second chapter, at least I can't preach this whole thing in one night. Maybe it'll be a series. I don't know. But I'm going to hit a lick on it tonight. That second chapter of the book of Exodus, in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it moves from the people of God unto the very providence of God. Like I said, there's a people down there, and except that they have some kind of protection and have some kind of a sustenance and some kind of livelihood, they're going to wither away and they're going to die under that hard, rigorous taskmaster's rule. I mean, they were mean to those people. They beat those people. They made their life just as miserable as they could. But even after Moses come down there and brought them out, what did they remember? What did they remember? Did they remember the beatings? Did they remember the hard rule? Did they remember the rigor? No, they get out there and get a little bit hungry. Their belly starts growling. By the time they said, well, we had it made back there. We had leeks and onions and melons and garlics, and we had cucumbers, and we had this. They forgot all about the taskmasters and their brutish rule over them. And sometimes I get so frustrated with myself. I think I've got it rough. Bless God, I forget what God's done when he delivered me. Sometimes I just think I just forget that I'm one of his children. First chapter is about the people of God. Verses number 1 through 8 of the second chapter, the Bible said that when a man of the house of Levi and took to his wife a daughter of Levi, he said, who you talking about? I'm talking, just listen. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You said, what's all this about? You go back to verse number 16 of chapter number 1, and you'll find out if it be a son, then what's going to happen? Kill him. Can't tell me that the providential hand of God wasn't upon this one. Why? Because the Bible said that whenever she bore a son, the Bible said that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. And listen, at the providential hand of God in this, brother, hid him out in a basket, put him in the bulrushes in the Nile, and guess what? Who come down there to draw him out? Pharaoh's daughter. Who's going to raise him? His own mama. Tell me God wasn't in that.
Amen.
I can't read this whole thing. It said, and she could no longer hide him. She took him for an ark. Why'd she have to hide him? Because of verse number 16. The Pharaoh done put out a decree that if a male child under the age of one, kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live. The Bible then said, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him in, for an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and pitch, put it in the child therein, and she laid it in the flags of the river brink. His sister stood far off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh come down to wash herself in the river. Her maids walked along the river's edge. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she said to her maiden to fetch it. And when she had opened it up, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And then she said to her sister, Pharaoh. Then she said to his sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and got who? The child's mother. You tell me God's people are not being protected by Almighty God when the providential hand of God was upon Moses. You said what was so special about this child? We're over in the sixth chapter of the book of Exodus now. God has commissioned Moses to be that man that would go down there and say, let my people go.
Yes.
Are y'all all right tonight?
Amen.
I go from 0 to 60. I told myself I'm going to try to teach tonight. About like you teaching in Sunday school, preacher. Hard to do, ain't it? We go straight from the God's people and God's providence to we start to look at God's prophet here in the third chapter, verses number 11 through 14. The Bible said it came to pass in those days that when Moses was grown, this is that same baby plucked from the bulrushes. He said, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of the brethren, one of his brethren. And he looked this way, and he looked that way, and he ain't seen nobody, Brother Danny, that's going to catch him in the act. He's looking around. He ain't going to beat my brother. Look what he said. He said, he looked this way, and he looked that way, and we saw nobody looking. Preston, ain't nobody looking. He slew the Egyptian.
and hid him in the sand, buried him in a shallow grave. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou fellow? He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Then you'll know that Moses fled and he was gone for a while. Bless God, 40 years he's gone and he's hid himself. But you know, you're not hiding from God. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you've done, whether you killed an Egyptian or whether you're just a downright scallywag. I don't care where you've gone. There's nowhere you're going to go that you're hiding from God. And God knew exactly where he was at. And you'll see that prophet begin to grow. And in chapter number 4, if we were to get over there, 3 and 4, you're going to see moves from the prophet, because God says, I'm going to send you. He said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, just tell him I am is the one that sent you. And bless God, chapter number 4, I ain't even got to the message yet. We'll get there in a minute. But chapter number 4, you'll see the power of God come on the man by the name of Moses. Moses making excuses. Verse number 10, down through about number 12, he said, and Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken of thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Bless God, he's making every excuse not to do what God told him to do. But if God calls you to do it, bless God, the power of God will be on you, and his plan will be carried out as it starts in chapter number 5. Verses number 1 and 2, it said, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is this Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Bless God, when you make a bold statement like that in the face of Almighty God, it's almost as if God said, you ain't going to let them go, you watch this. And then bless God, the plagues, you can read about the plagues and how the plagues came, and the plagues came. Another night with the frogs, the death come. I must get everything going on. Pharaoh had to do nothing but relent over that promise. He said, I ain't going to let him go. He had to let him go. Yes. Lest God kill him. And he, eventually, you know the rest of that story. So anyway, we're going back to chapter number 6. We'll start our message. Bible says in chapter number 6, we'll probably be in verses number 6, 7, and 8 predominantly tonight. The Bible said, wherefore unto the children of Israel, wherefore saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. So I'm telling you tonight, if we sing the song of the redeemed. Brother Grant, you've ever heard the term being saved? You've been around church in time, you know the term being saved. Last thing you said before you sat down, I just wanted to thank God for saving me. Then that bears the question of those that are not under maybe the same knowledge that we are. We use those terms, being born again, to be redeemed, to be saved. Have you ever had anybody saved from what? You ever had anybody say that or heard that? I've heard people say, saved from what? Well, you could start off right there and bring them a short 3 or 4 point message. You're saved from what? Well, you're saved from sin. Saved from sin unto what? From sin unto salvation. And we could go down the line. You are redeemed from what? From the curse of the law. Unto what? To grace. To be out from under it. I'm glad that we live in a dispensation of grace. I'm glad that we live in a land where I can still grab an old King James Bible and throw it under my arm, and without any fear of retaliation from my government or somebody coming in here tonight and trying to take it away from us or shut us down or shut us up. And I'm not sure that we'll always have that liberty, but bless God, we got it right now. And Lord, take advantage of it. But the song of the redeemed tonight is namely given unto us. And bless God, what are you redeemed from then? That bears the question. What are you redeemed from? What are you saved from? Bless God, I'm glad that I'm saved from the penalty of the law, because the penalty of the law demanded something for you. It demanded something for me, Brother Jamie. Bless God, it demanded death unto me. It would cause me to die an earthly cruel death. But only that, Brother Jamie, it would cause me to die a physical death, but a spiritual death as well. One outside of heaven, outside of God's grace, outside of his glory, doomed forever in the devil's hell. And I'm glad that I'm saved from that penalty.
Verse number 6 said, look what it says. He said, I am the Lord and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. So anyway, what's the burdens of the Egyptian? I told you, and we could go back over, if we were to go back over there, there's another passage of scripture. I didn't mark it all up, but they were trying to make it meat hard on them. Taking away their straw and taking away the thing. I had that marked up over here somewhere. They just made it hard on the folks. Every time they would try to do something, they would just make it that much harder on them. And everything that they would try, they'd finally get a leg up and Pharaoh would do something else. And look what it says in chapter number 5, verse number 9. It said, let no more work be laid upon men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and the officers, they spake of the people, saying, thus said Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it. Yet not all of your work shall be diminished. And in other words, do the works without the goods. Do the works and you find your way, but you're going to continue to do the work. And so the people scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works with daily tests, as there was when there was straw. In other words, you're going to keep doing the same amount of work, but you're going to do it by your own hand. You're going to do it by your way. We're not helping you at all. And that's what Satan will do to you. He'll give you punishment. But the Bible said in that chapter number 6, verse number 6, he said that you would be redeemed from the punishment or out from under the burden or out from under the penalty of the taskmaster. Aren't you glad that Satan has no rule over you? I'm glad that he doesn't have any rule over me. If you're saved by God's grace, listen, you're looking at a preacher that's going to continue to preach as long as God gives me breath. I believe in eternal security for the believer. Do I get an amen out here?
Yes.
Amen. I believe in eternal security for the believer. But Tim, I don't ever have to worry about dying and going to hell. I don't have to be about worrying under the penalty. Why? Because I've been born again. And I preached that. If you're born twice, you're going to die but one time. If you're born once, you've got two deaths to die. And that's recorded in the book of the Revelation. There is a second death. The Bible talks about the books, wrote another book, which is the book of life. And those whose names not found therein were delivered up. Death and hell gave up. And they were all cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I don't want to die a second day. I'm not going to. I took care of that. Bless God. Thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. You not only deliver from the punishment where it said in verse number 6, from Alpha and under the burdens of Egypt, but he said, I also deliver you from the bondage. Not just the burden, but also from the bondage. So you say, what's that, preacher? What is bondage? If somebody was bound or in bindings, what is that? They're imprisoned. Are they not imprisoned? Is that not what Satan's got? And you know, Brother Tam, if I was to go back to my law enforcement days, years and years and years ago, and I put shackles on my hands, if I, you know, hog-tied myself or hog-tied Ben, and I threw Ben down here, put his hands behind his back, jerked his legs up, crossed them behind him, and I took his hands to his legs, and I strapped them things together with a zip tie, and I cranked him down with one of those flexicuffs, Brother Grant, he ain't going nowhere. Why? Because he's now in bonds. He is in bondage. And when you are in bonds, what do you do? You do whatever the man that binds you. You do what, you know what you do? Not only that, you eat what he says to eat. You drink what he says to drink. You go where he says to go. Everything about that, you do what the one that has bound you does. Is that not, Brother Archie, what the drunk man does? He's in bonds of Satan. He drinks what the bond man says. He drinks what the one that bound him says. So many people today are in bonds of sin, and Satan has them blinded and has them shackled, and they're basically prisoners to sin. And that's the one they serve. They serve the one that's got them bound. Brother Tam, aren't you glad that you're bound by grace? Aren't you glad that you're shackled to Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that you have been apprehended by the King of all glory, that he arrested your soul, Brother Charles? And bless God, one day, bless God, you'll get to thank him face to face for redeeming you from that curse of the law. Out from under the punishment, out from under the penalty phase of it, bless God, and you get to be free of the bonds. I'm glad for the pardon of Almighty God. You know, the judge of all judges is going to pardon you. He's already pardoned you if you're saved by God's grace, and you got a deliverance. You got a pardon. He took your penalty for you whenever you went to the cross. Verse number 8 says these words, and I will bring you into a land. I want you to look at the place. He starts talking about Canaan. He said, I'll bring you to a place. I'll bring you to a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham. He's talking about a Canaan land. He's talking about a land, the Bible says, that flows with milk and honey. He's talking about a land, Brother Kenny, that if me and you were to grab us a big old stave, a big old pole, about 6 or 8 foot long, and I got on one end and you got on the other, bless God, you know what we could put in the middle of that thing, and it'd take both of us to carry them? It'd take grapes.
Amen.
Just like when we go down to the supermarket and eat grapes. Well, never mind, we'll skip that one. But anyway, let me just say this, Kenny, don't you act, Kippy, that place had grapes, pods of grapes. I'm talking about that two men carrying them on a pole could carry them on their back. That was a place that God had prepared. And bless God, what does every Baptist people do? They get a committee together. He said, I want you to go over and check that place out. God's told us about it. That place is rich in goods. I mean, it's like everything over there is prospering. And I want you to go over there and spy out that land. 12 goes out, 10 comes back with a negative report. But 2 said, it's exactly like God said. We ought to go on over there now. 10 said, we can't go over there because we're mere grasshoppers in their sight. Bless God, they're the sons of Anak. They've got big old long necks. In other words, they're giants over there, and we can do nothing with them. And you know, as the majority goes, brother, a lot of times the majority rules. But guess what? Bless God, there's a couple of them that got to see it. There's a couple of them that got to go. A bunch of them had to die. But bless God, there's a couple of them got to go. Oh, Aaron was one of them. And I'm thankful, bless God, that Joshua and a few other but then got to go over and experience the land. Even poor old Moses didn't get to go over there and partake in that beautiful place. But I'm glad that God's got a place prepared for us.
Amen.
He told them, you got a place. Look what he said in verse number 8. He said, I'm going to take you to a place. I'm going to take you to a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance. He said, I am the Lord. I'm not just going to give you something. Best God, I'm going to be there when you get there. Look what he said in verse number 6. Listen at the promise that he says. Verse number 8. He said, and I will bring you into the land concerning to which I did swear to give to. Verse number 9. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You said, why'd you bring that verse up for? Because the Bible said that as Moses spake, the children, what'd they say? We ain't going to listen. Ain't going to hear it. Ain't going to have of it. All through the scriptures, it talks about a rebellious people. Brother Tam, you remember the scriptures over the book of, I believe it to be Joshua, maybe Jeremiah, one of the scriptures is eluding me right now to where it's exactly at, but he said to search out the old paths. Consider the old paths and walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. But what did the people say? We will not. Whenever I preach today, I wonder how many people, every time Brother Larry Adam, Brother Kenny, Brother Chris, Brother Me, Brother whoever gets up here and preaches about the land that's flowing with milk and honey, about a land, Brother Archie, beyond the grave, about a celestial city whose builder and maker is God, about a crystal river flowing from the throne of grace, about a tree, Brother Tim, that bears 12 manners of fruit in its season, about a street, a solid street of gold, Brother Kenny. I'm talking about a place, the light of that fair city is Jesus Christ, that has no need for the moon or sun, a place like that. But I tell you about that, and I preach about that, to be absent of the body, to be present with the Lord. I preach about that fair city, Brother Tam. I wonder how many people say, ain't no such thing. Ain't no such thing. I tell them how to get there. The way is by the way of the cross. I ain't going that way. I wonder how many people are still rebellious like that, Ryan, to say, I ain't going that way. You know a lot of preachers, Preacher Kenny, and I might be one of them. I don't even hear myself preach. To this day, I've only listened to one message that I've ever preached in its entirety. That was the first one. And I ain't never doing that again. I just don't listen to myself preach. But I wonder how many of us preach all this stuff that we preach, lay all this stuff out there, Brother Tam, and then sometimes in our minds wonder about it ourselves. I hope that I'd never doubt my own preaching. I hope I'd never doubt. But you know, brother, we talk about God's healing. We talk about God's miracles. We talk about God's provision. And sometimes we worry and wonder. I do. I worry and wonder. I'm just like the rest of you. You can't tell me you don't worry and wonder. When you get a diagnosis of something, you're going to worry, you're going to fret, and you're going to wonder a little bit. I wonder if we don't preach to ourselves sometime, preacher. Sure we do. You better believe we do. Whenever we lay all this stuff out there, though, Brother Tan, I would hate to tell you that there is a heaven and a hell, not tell you how to get from one to the other. We're on the road to hell. So how are we going to get to heaven? You got to get on the road that goes there. All these things I'm preaching about today, Moses got to experience firsthand.
The song of the redeemed, Brother Tim, is a song that the angels can't sing. As I started out, I'm telling you about this. He's a protecting God. He's a providing God. Bless God, He has got everything right at His fingertips. And the Bible teaches us, bless God, that it is His good pleasure to give it to us. But I sometimes wonder, do we even want it? Brother Kenny, do you want more presence? You want more power of God in your life? We can have that if we just simply ask for it. Look what it says. Keep reading. And Moses spake in the little verse number 10. Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Whom a circumcised, uncircumcised lips. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge to the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses. And we go on now to read about them. Flip over just another page. And then you'll see up in chapter number 7, verses number 14 begins the plagues. I'm just going to ask you this as we get ready to close this thing down. Miss Macy, come over and get a song. Brother